I will be reading to you now from Scripture. We will begin our morning in the Psalms. Psalm 130, to be exact. I am reading from a translation of the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Hear these words. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in your word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with God is great power to redeem. It is the Lord who will redeem us from all of our iniquities. Here ends that reading. And now we transition to the words of the Apostle Paul in the second letter to the Corinthians, beginning the 12th chapter and the 5th verse. Paul is speaking in the earlier part of this chapter of a man who was ushered up into heaven and saw the Lord God's self directly. So Paul says, on behalf of such a one I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. The power is made perfect in weakness. And so I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Here ends the reading. The Bible is filled with truths that seem like they are opposites to one another. Whenever I am weak, I am strong. You'll find this presently throughout Scripture, I believe, because it is our test in this earth to continue seeking after and chasing after the divine, and to begin to know and understand that God in new and better and different ways. Those of you further along in life than me, I believe, have probably worshiped and known God far more deeply than I have yet opportunity. But life has given me, as I am sure it has given you, ample opportunities to know God through hardship. And so today I want to speak to those of you currently in the midst of hardship. Now I know that's not everyone in this congregation and in the sound of my voice. Some of you may be in a good place right now. And so I hope that you can take some blessing from the words today. But this message is for those of you going through it. And I dare say those of you truly going through it may not even be in a space to come to church, may not even be in a space to open your Bibles or to turn on the radio and listen to this broadcast. But I know that there were a few of you that came here this morning with hope. Hope that the Lord has not abandoned you. Hope that the Lord has not forsaken you. Hope that you might find some small glimmer of the divine love you have felt before in this place today. And so in that spirit, let us all pray. Eternal, everlasting God, you are the source of our strength. You give us all that we are, and yet you still ask for more. Not to make life difficult, God, but because through serving you, we find true joy. Through knowing you, feeling you with us, we know the consolation of hope and love. And Lord, we know that you have been with us this entire time. You've been with us each, no matter where we were before this, on our way here to church. You are with us now, sitting alongside us, letting your heavenly spirit rain down over us, that we might be enmeshed in your love. But God, sometimes when we come into a place like this, the part of us that is of the world, the cynical part of us, hardens our heart. God, we ask that you break through the hardness of our hearts today, that you strike us with your love, that you transform us into something new, that you remind us of our better selves, that you give us some glimpse of you today. The words that I might utter, God, I hope are yours. But Lord, even if they are not, the words are not the important part of this time together. The important part, God, is our openness of spirit to let you come in. And so, God, give me the foresight, the wisdom, and the truth to be able to break through all of the armor and defenses that those listening to these words have put up, that it might all come tumbling down in the realization that your love is all that we need. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen. Every single one of us went through a very difficult last year and a half. The COVID-19 pandemic hit us each differently. For some of us, the struggle was being alone with our thoughts, without access to our family, our friends, those interpersonal relationships that give us joy. The pandemic also hit some of us where it hurts, in our pocketbook, in our livelihood, and the ability to hold our heads high, to make a living here on this earth, to provide for ourselves and for our family. Many of us were struggling well before the pandemic. Some of us were hit. I imagine there are those in this room and in the sound of my voice that weathered coronavirus and made it through on the other side. I imagine also that there are some within the sound of my voice who know people that directly succumbed to the virus. I also know that there are people within the sound of my voice who have loved ones who passed during the height of the pandemic and were unable to grieve them with an in-person funeral like they might have been able to do in the past. We were forced to face our own mortality. And we were forced to realize that life is not promised, no matter our age. It's in times like that that we are truly called to reflect on our lives, the significance of what we've done and what we will do, the ways in which we live into our faith. It was truly a time and is truly a time for us to interrogate our beliefs. Do they stand up in the face of adversity? Do they help us weather the valley moments? Is our faith enough? And I imagine there are some within the sound of my voice whose faith is faltering right now. But do not fear, for the Lord is ever merciful and brings all of us back to the loving kindness of our creation when we most need it. And so I wanted to preach to you today out of one of the Psalms of Lament. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. There are times in our walks of faith where the Lord, who may have been very close with us in the past, may seem distant. When we struggle to hear the sound of the Lord's voice, when we do not recognize the faith we once held, when we can no longer sustain it, when we see things in the world that seem to counter everything that we believe. I do not deign to assume what those moments have been or are for you, but I've had them in my life, and I have seen many, many around me who have the staunchest faith face a roadblock in life that sets them somewhere off course, sees someone they love harmed or hurt, someone they love die. And they begin to question, Lord, if you are there, are you truly good? Lord, was your hand in this? Who are you to me, Lord, if you would do this to someone I love? Lord, why have you forsaken me? Why is life so hard? It should not be this hard. Why must we continue and continue to return to this place of despair when, God, you have shown us joy before? Why can we not have it again? Where have you gone, Lord? And the good news is that nearly every character in the Bible, every saint of the church, had just those moments, was just that imperfect in their faith, was just that imperfect in the way that they lived their life. You will find some of the most imperfect people in the stories of the Old Testament, imperfect people that God raised to become prophets, that God raised to become priests. God has a funny way of making decency out of the brokenness that we all share. If left to our own devices, how miserable would we be? If we were not convicted of our behavior because of the Lord we serve, because of the goodness of God that we have felt before, because of the goodness that we have seen exemplified in Jesus, who was the Christ, if we had not seen that, how miserable would we be, overcome by all of our insecurities, all of our fear, our jealousy, our ambition, all of it. We each struggle with different flaws within the community of God, but we are all deeply, deeply broken. But for the grace of God, which is why when we come together, we offer a prayer of confession. Sometimes when we think too highly of ourselves, we can go weeks without praying, without giving supplication to God. If left to ourselves, our selfish desires overwhelm any possibility for decency. But do not despair. This is purely a product of the human condition. We are all broken. But the Lord our God, has steadfast love. We read that in scriptures in Hebrew. That word is hesed, loving kindness, steadfast love. It's a purer, more constant love than the simpler understanding of the term, and I want to spend some time speaking to you about it. What God's loving kindness and steadfast love truly is, I want to speak to what it was for those in whose day this word hesed emerged, the people of Israel. You see, for the Lord had been good to the people of Israel. Time and time again had rescued them from their deepest circumstances. And it is easy for us to look back on the people of Israel as they, generation after generation, forget all that God has done, return to the ways of selfishness and avarice. It is easy for us to read those stories and look at them and say, oh, ha ha, I would never be that person. But we are all those people. Every single one of us are those people. It is so easy for us to get puffed up in our own greatness, overwhelmed by our own selfish concerns that we forget. We lose sight of the fact that we are heirs to a greater promise. And simply for ourselves, the people of Israel were in covenant with the Lord. The Lord put a great water over creation and destroyed all that had been, except for Noah's family and the creatures in the ark. And with the rainbow, God made a promise to the people of Israel and to all of us, that that would never happen again. God again made covenant with Abraham, that Abraham and all of Abraham's descendants would inherit the land and would be God's chosen people. God renews and restores the covenant with God's people time and time again, not just in the Bible times, but throughout history. Steadfast love, loving kindness, something that will never, never go away. And so the people of Israel are called time and time again when they are in the wilderness. But remember, remember what God has done for you, for our people. Remember all that the Lord has done. And be rejoice and rejoice in that. We are similarly called to remember time and time again, even when we waft in our purpose, even when we lose sight of our faith, even when we haven't prayed in days, weeks, months, and even years. The Lord has a way of touching our hearts when we are most eager to forget God. The Lord has a way of breaking through, and breaking us down into our purest selves, the child of God, who, though we are broken, has the potential to have the light of Christ shine through us and into the world. And so Paul says that though he is deeply imperfect, though he has a thorn that continues to torment him, though he does not live up to his own standards for his own behavior, yet the Lord is steadfast. Yet the Lord has anointed him to a greater purpose than many of us will ever achieve. The Lord does not begrudge us our imperfections. The Lord laments our imperfections, because every single one of those imperfections is a moment when we have lost sight of our relationship with our Creator, a relationship with the one who calls us to be greater than our selfishness, greater than our own desires, and a part of a greater kingdom of God, where we are but one vessel of many who together are doing the work of building the heavenly Jerusalem here on this earth. And so I say to you, no matter what you may be going through, no matter what weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities you face. Face them for the sake of Christ. Face them in the knowledge that Christ's self, was human, just as much as Christ was divine. I won't keep you long, but I do want to make one more point. The early church wrestled with the question of who Jesus was. Who was this divine being, this divine encountered in creation? For generations, the church wrestled with and debated exactly what Jesus and Christ was. In ways that split the church apart, led to early divisions. These questions were of a weight and a division greater than I think many of us see now. I think we've moved on to other things to divide us than this question. But in the early church, there was the question of who is Christ and what is Christ to us? Was Jesus? Jesus was the Son of God, but does that mean that Jesus was human? Does that mean that Jesus was God in human form? What does it mean? How can we follow all of these teachings? Was Jesus just a sage that gave us some good points and some wisdom to live our life by? Was the cross something more significant? People fought, and many were killed over these questions. And where the early church landed was that there is no simple answer to this question. The question is more complicated than that. God's truth is always more complicated than a simple answer. And that's why it takes a lifetime of seeking after God to continue to better know God. And even at the end of our lives, we still do not fully know God until we meet the Lord in the hereafter. Thomas Aquinas, great theologian of the Middle Ages, said that the closest we can come to knowing God, even through Scripture, the closest we can come to knowing God is like looking through a dusty lens. We come to close approximations of the divine, but we can never fully know that which is greater than anything that can be meant. But the early church said that Jesus Christ was both fully human and fully divine. I'm going to throw another fancy word at you, consubstantial. The early church said that Jesus was consubstantial with the Father. Jesus was God and yet was God's Son. Jesus was God who deigned to enter creation and to suffer death alongside us. The Lord in human form, but yet Jesus was also fully human. Fully human just like we are. Which on the one hand gives us a very unrealistic expectation to be as perfect as the example of Jesus. And all of us in this room know that we can never fully be like Christ. But it is our great charge to try ever more closely to be like the example of Jesus. But I want to tarry just a little while longer on what it means for Jesus to be human, just as much as Jesus is divine. You may remember in Scripture when Jesus was in the final moments before his death, he said, "My Lord, my Lord, why have you forsaken me?" And so there must have been moments for Jesus. No matter how fully divine Jesus was, no matter how much Jesus was God entering creation in human form, where Jesus was like us. Moments where Jesus doubted, was not sure where God was in that moment. If Jesus was truly living into his destiny, the human side of Jesus, We so often speak of Jesus as the divine Christ, which Jesus is. But the complexities of our faith, the complexities of the Holy Trinity, are that Jesus had some weaknesses, just as we do. Jesus, through the perfection of the divine that was in Jesus, was able to overcome those weaknesses and live a closer perfection than we can ever face. But I mention this to give you consolation in your moments of greatest desperation. Do not lament your frailty. Do not bemoan your doubts. They are simply a part of being human. Whatever you may be going through right now, whether in this sanctuary or elsewhere, whatever you may be going through, please know that the Lord loves you in spite of your imperfections. The Lord is with you, no matter whether you recognize the Lord being there or not. The Lord has been with you from the beginning. The Lord will be with you in the end. Whether you call on the Lord's name in that moment or not, the Lord is with you. And when you most need the Lord to break in past your armor, past your cynicism, past your doubt, the Lord will find you. It may be at 1:30 in the morning in the quiet of your room. It may be out on the highway. It might be at your job. It might be when you see your family. It might be at church. But more often than not, I have found those real moments of encounter with the divine happen when we least expect them, and when we certainly do not have the strength of presence to call out for the divine. But the divine's steadfast love, the hesed of God that has shown itself true generation after generation from the times of Noah until today. The steadfast love of the Lord our God is everlasting. And that love will find you no matter your circumstance, no matter your ability to verbalize an eloquent prayer. I have found, beloved, that the greatest prayer, the purest prayer, is one without any words at all. Because it is in your darkest moment when all you can do is muster a sigh of exhaustion. But in those moments, I pray that God finds you most powerfully and renews and restores your faith, ignites the flame of faith within you, not just for yourself, as Paul said, but so that you might exemplify the love of God for all who come across you. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, which one of us could stand? But Lord, there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in your word I hope. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is steadfast love, and with God is great power to redeem. It is the Lord who will redeem us from all our iniquities. Remember Jesus, who was the Christ. And remember the Lord, greater than anything that can be meant, who will be there with you even when all have abandoned you. That Lord loves you, greater than you could ever love yourself. And that Lord will be with you from now until the hereafter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.